Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to our brother Suthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together, with all those in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God which has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and in knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. On being an optimist, let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Let me get into the message this way. It is said that in Kansas City, there is a black church that has this slogan in their bulletin: wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, stay up, pay up, but never give up, or back up, or shut up, until the cause of Christ in the church and in this world is built up. Until the cause of Christ in the church and in the world is built up. I want to lay this alongside Paul's words in that second verse. To the church of God, that is Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together, with all those in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't help but hear in that expression from the church that is in their bulletin, and then from the words of Paul, you can't help but feel a sense of high expectation for the church at Corinth. And what is so stark amazing, you might say, is that the odds were not in their favor. The church at Corinth was in a place that was filled with all kinds of commerce and travel. All kinds of people from all different backgrounds, they would pass through this port of Corinth. Because of this, there were businesses, you might say, who made their profits based on the vices of the people. There were temples in Corinth, but often those temples were used as houses or places of prostitution. All kinds of open and flagrant evil characterized this port city of Corinth. It was also said that if a young man, an innocent young man, went to this town, he would often return to his city Corinthianized. It would seem that you would not call a person an optimist, but foolish to believe that the Church of Jesus Christ, which would stand for the exact opposite of the culture all around it, would not only be able to survive, but to grow. It would not come without struggle. One writer said, "It wasn't easy then, and it isn't easy now." We begin to draw encouragement from the stories and the experiences around us. One story was that of a person whose train pulled into a station, a train station that had seen its better days. They said it was painful just to look around at all of the rubble and all of the decay and all of the neglect. But in the midst of the ashes and rubble, there were flowers, bright and beautiful. Flowers that were strong, even though they had no one to encourage them or to nurture them or to care for them. Flowers in the midst of the ugliness. There is something about the life of the church, something about the body of Christ, something about the community of believers. This is the church. And we dare not live isolated from the world around us. But we are right in the middle. We are right in the midst of often what is ugliness, often all kinds of evil, but we are right in the midst. No reason to try to hide. We're right in the midst of it. And we are called to make a difference, to be light in the midst of darkness, to be seed within the midst of this barren land. How do we get here? It is all because of grace, the grace of God. A good definition of grace is this: justice is getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Can you tell the difference? Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Years ago, there was a family circus cartoon, and it pictured the congregation standing and singing "Amazing Grace." A little boy tugged on his mom and said, "What did grace do that made it so amazing?" Within the life of the Corinthian church, the grace of God was present. The grace of God calling it to truly be the children of God. The grace of God always reminding it that they were the people of God. Even in this unstable time, Paul was optimistic. He was optimistic, first of all, because he knew the power of God within his own life. You know, there's something about being able to really be a witness. A witness because of your own personal experience. Paul had that kind of experience. For he remembered when he was traveling along Damascus Road on his way to persecute the church. But because he met God along the road, because he heard the voice of God saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" By the time Paul arrived at his destination, he was proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Something about grace, something about that personal experience within your own life. Grace affirms who we are. Grace affirms that we are a people with a mission and with a purpose. Sometimes you speculate on what would it be like to be rich, to have millions. But you know, even if we all had millions, it could not buy this feeling, this knowledge, this experience of knowing who we are and knowing to whom we belong. You can't put a price tag on that. And it is that knowledge that we belong to God, that we belong to one another, and that together we can call on the name of God. That is what gives us reason to be optimistic. Grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us on. Paul goes on to say, we can be thankful. We can be thankful. For in the Corinthian church, they had all kinds of gifts, all kinds of knowledge and understanding. In the church, they had the eloquence of speech. In the church, they had the wisdom to understand all of the cultures that were around them. I had never thought of it this way, because you think about all that was happening around them. So I had never thought of it and realized that God had granted them all the gifts that they needed to be able to stand. They had all they needed to be able to stand. And so this gives them reason to be thankful. Thankful for the life that they had in Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, and I want you to remind me, that in these times and experiences that we might be having, there is much to be thankful for. I love it when they ask Karl Barth, that great theologian, they asked him, and I'm sure whoever asked him was expecting a deep kind of theological response. They asked him, what was his theology? He responded, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We have much to be thankful for, and we are needing to hold on to that. What is an example of it? A little boy was asked by his father to say grace at the table. While the rest of the family waited, the little boy eyed the food and the dishes that were on the table that his mother had prepared. After examination, he bowed his head and he honestly prayed, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway." Amen. Reasons to be optimistic. I make it a point, I could go another way, but I make it a point every morning to drive down Colfax on my way here to church. I think I do that because in that few minutes, 15 or so minutes that it takes me to come, in that time, it just reminds me of all that is going on around you. For in those few blocks, there is the example of what poverty is about. In those few blocks, there is the example of those who sit and stand on the street corners with their signs. Genuinely, I believe, for many in need. Within those few blocks are places where you might say all kinds of obscenity takes place. And I know both in Denver and Aurora, they're seeking ways to try to close those places. All kinds of things happening in just those few blocks. And I want to travel down those roads because I want to remind myself, what does it mean to be optimistic, even though the conditions all around you can be so bad? What is it to be optimistic? Well, it means that we can hold on to the grace of God. We can hold on to what it means to be thankful to God. We can hold on to what it means to be called by God to address the needs that are all around us. Optimism, not based on conditions. Not based on conditions, not based on conditions, but the grace of God. Thanksgiving to God. And so even driving down Colfax, I put in my CD. Oh, what a wonderful world. Thanks be to God. Amen.